VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, we've got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. We thank you for joining us as we share with you a number of stories, issues that are going on here in the United States and around the world. And certainly these will help us to be understanding of the times, certainly to know the importance of redeeming the time, taking advantage of the time that's before us to do that which God has called us to do, to be salt and to be light. Certainly we are His ambassadors here upon this earth, and we encourage you to spread the good news, because as we share some of these stories here, friends, you know, the time of the Lord's return, well, we're a day closer today than we were yesterday. We're going to delve into a number of issues here today as to where we are as a nation, knowing how to better pray for our nation and the issues that are before us. And we're going to begin with the Democratic presidential debate that was in Las Vegas, watched by some 19.7 million viewers, according to Nielsen, making it the most watched debate in the history of the Democratic presidential primary, reports townhall.com. All the candidates took turns savaging the former New York City mayor over his personal fortune, stop and frisk crime policy, various things the candidate has said in the past, and the non-disclosure agreements that Bloomberg has between an untold number of women. I'd just like you to hear part of that exchange in which Bloomberg was cornered by the questioners and also some of the fellow Democratic candidates that were on the stage with him.
Ask you about something else. Several former employees have claimed that your company was a hostile workplace for women. When you were confronted about it, you admitted making sexually suggestive remarks, saying, quote, "That's the way I grew up." In a lawsuit in the 1990s, according to the Washington Post, one former female employee alleged that you said, quote, "I would do you in a second." Should Democrats expect better from their nominee?
Let me say a couple things, and if I can have my full minute and a quarter, thank you. I have no tolerance for the kind of behavior that the Me Too movement has exposed. And anybody that does anything wrong in our company, we investigate it, and if it's appropriate, they're gone that day. But let me tell you what I do in my company and my foundation and in city government when I was there. In my foundation, the person that runs it's a woman. 70% of the people there are women. In my company, lots and lots of women have big responsibilities. They get paid exactly the same as men. And in my in City Hall, the person that's the top person, my deputy mayor, was a woman, and 40% of our commissioners were women. I am very proud of the fact that about 2 weeks ago, we were awarded. We were voted the most best place to work, second best place in America. If that doesn't say something about our employees and how happy they are, I don't know what does.
Senator Warren, you've been critical of Mayor Bloomberg on this issue.
Yes, I have. And I hope you heard what his defense was. I've been nice to some women. That just doesn't cut it. The mayor has to stand on his record. And what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is
that?
Let
me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me put, there's agreements between two parties that wanted to keep it quiet, and that's up to them. They signed those agreements, and we'll live with it.
So wait, when you say it is up to, I just want to be clear. Some is how many? And When you say they signed them and they wanted them, if they wish now to speak out and tell their side of the story about what it is they allege, that's now okay with you? You're releasing them on television tonight?
Senator, no.
Is that right?
Senator, the company and somebody else, in this case, a man or a woman, or could be more than that, they decided when they made an agreement that they wanted to keep it quiet for everybody's interest. They signed the agreements, and that's what we're going to live with.
I'm sorry. No, the question is, are the women bound by being muzzled by you? And you could release them from that immediately. Because understand, this is not just a question of the mayor's character. This is also a question about electability. We are not going to beat Donald Trump with a man who has who knows how many non-disclosure agreements and the drip, drip, drip of stories of women saying they have been harassed and discriminated against. That's not what we do as Democrats.
Mr. Vice President.
Look, let's get something straight.
And that's from the debate here this week, as a lot of shots taken at Michael Bloomberg. One of the candidates, Tom Steyer, who failed to qualify for the debate, said, "I saw the person who won the debate, and whose name was Donald Trump." Early on, political consultant Mike Murphy labeled the debate a six-way tornado of long-repressed rage, fear, and desperation. For Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and maybe even Joe Biden, the end is near. That story coming to us from the National Review. The non-Bloomberg candidates contend that the former mayor is trying to buy the presidency, and they detest him for waltzing in late and rocketing up to top-tier status by throwing around hundreds of millions of dollars in ads. A lot of back and forth took place there. Also, what's interesting, Senator Bernie Sanders, this is from CNSNews.com, proposing a federal tax increase that he says will bring in $4.35 trillion in revenue over the next 10 years. He explains that the tax will specifically target 180,000 households. This is not taxing income, but rather he would tax assets and savings. So depending upon how much you have in assets and savings, that part would be taxed. In order to reduce the outrageous level of inequality, we must establish an annual tax on the extreme wealth of the top 0.1%. The tax plan on Bernie Sanders' website says it would start with a 1% tax on net worth above $32 million for a married couple. Sanders' plan calls for the creation of a national wealth registry for the IRS. Also, very interesting, Senator Bernie Sanders is arguing that the U.S. must find the moral conviction to choose democratic socialism. Now, he balked at being called a communist the other day. But here he is in a speech from June 12, 2019 at George Washington University explaining democratic socialism.
Today, we now see a handful of billionaires with unprecedented wealth and power. We see huge private monopolies operating outside of any real democratic oversight and often subsidized by taxpayers, with the power to control almost every aspect of our lives. They are the profit-taking gatekeepers of our healthcare, our technology, our finance system, our food supply, and almost all of the other basic necessities of life. And let us name them. They are Wall Street, the insurance companies, the drug companies, the fossil fuel industry, the military industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, and giant agribusiness. They are the entities with unlimited wealth who surround our nation's capital with thousands of well-paid lobbyists who, to a very significant degree, write the laws that we live under. Today, we have a demagogue in the White House who, for cheap political gain, is attempting to deflect the attention of the American people away from the real crises that we face, and instead is doing what demagogues always do, and that is to divide people up and legislate hatred. This is a president who supports brutal family separations, border walls, Muslim bans, anti-LGBT policies, deportations, and voter suppression. It is my very strong belief that the United States must reject that path of hatred and divisiveness and instead find the moral conviction to choose a different path, a higher path, a path of compassion, justice, and love. And that is the path that I call democratic socialism.
Well, very interesting. Well, it was during the Democratic debate in Las Vegas Wednesday that Michael Bloomberg alluded to Sanders' radical beliefs. And Bloomberg said, we're not going to throw out capitalism. We tried that. Other countries tried that. It was called communism, and it just didn't work. Well, Sanders shot back. He said, let's talk about democratic socialism, not communism. Mr. Bloomberg, that's a cheap shot. And yet, as CNSNews.com has pointed out, that Bernie Sanders, a self-described socialist and democratic socialist, told high school students in 1972 he did not mind if people called him a communist. Well, let's take a look here. NBC News. Senator Bernie Sanders has jumped out to a double-digit national lead in the Democratic presidential contest. And that is Joe Biden has seen his support drop by 11 points. The survey shows New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg gaining ground in the Democratic race in the past month. When the Democratic field is reduced to just Sanders and Bloomberg, Sanders holds a 20-point national lead, 57-37%. Also, Sanders also holds a double-digit lead over Buttigieg in a hypothetical two-person race, 54-38%. CNSNews.com reports a Rasmussen poll, one in three black U.S. likely voters say they would not vote for an openly gay president. About one in six Democrats say they would not vote for an openly gay president, compared to 42% Republicans, 21% of other voters. Pete Buttigieg, front runner for the Democratic presidential nomination, is openly gay, married to another man. And according to CNSNews.com, Pete Buttigieg has said that he and his husband plan to start a family and may have children while he's serving as president in the White House. We're hoping to have a little one, Buttigieg said at an event in Brooklyn with his husband, Chasen. I imagine it would be make me a better president, he said on CNN the next day. When CNN was asked him further about this, can you tell us a little more about how you plan to start a family, the discussions with your husband, adopting, surrogacy, and what people should expect? Buttigieg said, well, we've been thinking about it for a while. Well, we're not wealthy, it turns out. As I mean, parenting is an expensive proposition for anyone, but especially for a same-sex couple. There's a lot you've got to figure out, Buttigieg said. Yeah, fostering, adopting, surrogacy, said the CNN reporter. Yeah, said Buttigieg. Very interesting indeed. By the way, Mike Bloomberg donated nearly $14 million, just shy of $14 million to Planned Parenthood. And reports, according to Newsbusters, the Bloomberg Family Foundation, $13.962 million to the abortion chain between 2014 and 2017. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day today, and a whole lot more to come during this quarter hour. Coming to us from Washington Examiner, former Vice President Joe Biden argued the Obama administration's containment of unaccompanied minors at detention centers along the southern border cannot be compared to the current administration. However, Univision anchor George Ramos interviewed him, and at the debate, he said at the debate in Houston, you said that during the Obama administration, and I quote, we didn't lock people in cages, but you actually did, not in the same numbers as the Trump administration, but you did, Ramos told Biden, and then showed him pictures there and gave a very uncomfortable situation for Joe Biden at the time. LifeSiteNews.com, four women are running for Congress as the conservative squad, hoping to foil to the four left-wing Democrats who are comparatively known as the Squad or sometimes the Socialist Squad. The conservative women are Jessica Taylor running in Alabama's 2nd District, former Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Michelle Fischbach seeking to represent the 7th District in Minnesota, Nancy Mace, South Carolina's 1st District, and the first female mayor of Irving, Texas, Beth Van Duane, hoping to represent the 24th District. I won't just drain the swamp, I'll burn it down, Taylor said. We need a new generation of conservatives to push back against radical socialism, end of quote. From townhall.com, the United States and the Taliban have been engaged in extensive talks to facilitate a political settlement to end the war in Afghanistan and reduce U.S. and allied force presence and ensure that no terrorist group ever uses Afghan soil to threaten the U.S. or our allies, the State Department said in a statement. The clock for the 7-day reduction in violence period begins Friday night, Afghanistan time. In recent weeks, consultation with the Government of National Unity, U.S. negotiators have come to understanding with the Taliban. We're preparing for the signing to take place February 29th, the statement said. After successful deliveries from the Taliban and Afghans, the U.S. will implement its end of the agreement, including a significant reduction of U.S. troops in the country. Also from townhall.com, speaking to reporters at the conclusion of a visit to Prince Sultan Air Base Thursday afternoon, the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that the maximum pressure campaign on Iran's oil markets will increase. He said they've gone from delivering 2.7 or 2.8 million barrels per day to a couple hundred thousand a day. And he said we're going to try and tighten that down further to deny the regime the capacity to underwrite Hezbollah, underwrite the Shia militias, underwrite Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip. His visit to the Saudi base comes nearly 2 months after the killing of Soleimani, and very interesting indeed. And CNSNews.com reporting President Trump Wednesday accused Senator Chris Murphy and former Secretary of State John Kerry of violating a two-century-old law by holding meetings with Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif. Kerry and Murphy illegally violated the Logan Act, Trump tweeted. And Murphy responded that he confirmed that he met with Zarif, but he said, I'm a ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee in the Middle East, and it's literally my job to meet with regional leaders. The Logan Act prohibits any U.S. citizen from engaging without authority of the United States with foreign governments in dispute with the United States. Murphy said, I cannot conduct diplomacy on behalf of the whole of the U.S. government. I don't pretend to be in a position to do so. But he said, if Trump isn't going to talk to Iran, then somebody should. Well, Kerry also has had connections with Zarif, and their two wives have gotten together for social times. And Kerry has also met privately with him on occasions as well. We'll move on to the coronavirus from the South China Morning Post. We understand that the death toll now passing over 2,000 deaths, some 75,000 plus cases taking place. China said Wednesday it received 16 tons of supplies from the U.S., including face masks and other protective gear. And the foreign ministry spokesman there said they hoped the U.S. would deliver on its promise, $100 million donation to help the outbreak. The CBS News is reporting that the suspension of flights to slow the spread of corona is having a major impact on global flows of letters and parcels. The U.S. Postal Service said Tuesday that it's experiencing significant difficulties in dispatching letters, parcels, and also express mail to China, Hong Kong, and Macau because much of its supplier airlines have suspended flights. And a matter of fact, the Postal Service said it can no longer accept items destined for China, Hong Kong, or Macau. Then also interesting here from, this would be from the vaccinereaction.org. February 1st, an executive order was issued by the U.S. Department of Defense, including the Joint Chiefs of Staff, directing the U.S. Northern Command to implement the department's global campaign plan for pandemic and infectious diseases. Orders were sent to the U.S. Marine Corps and Navy, directing geographic combatant commanders to execute their pandemic plans in response to the outbreak. The U.S. Marine Corps directive told commanders to review, update, and validate existing disease containment plans and policies. The U.S. now has 29 confirmed cases being treated on military bases or in a biocontainment facility. First case of coronavirus is reported in Israel, reports Israel National News. Reported Friday morning after an Israeli passenger from the quarantined cruise ship Diamond Princess returned home to Israel. That person is now being held in isolation at Sheba Medical Center. And propaganda flowing. An Iraqi political analyst is charging wildly that the U.S. is attacking China with the coronavirus. National Review is reporting that China's ordered three journalists from the Wall Street Journal to leave the country within 5 days. That's the first time in decades that China has expelled multiple reporters from the same outlet simultaneously. The Chinese Foreign Ministry said the move came after the journal refused to apologize for publishing a headline China deemed offensive. The headline said this: China is the real sick man of Asia. It's a column by Bard College professor Walter Russell Mead on the shaky financial foundations of China's economy. Trials of two coronavirus drug therapies have begun in China, and this is affecting many, many businesses. Amazon working to avoid disruption due to the coronavirus. Procter & Gamble says its finances are going to suffer. China is their number two market. And on, statements being made by various businesses in that regard. Speaking of China, bitterwinter.org reports the persecution of house churches has become the so-called gray market. The largest segments of Chinese religion has intensified dramatically since the new regulations on religious affairs came into force February of 2018. The largest house movement was shut down on orders from the local government December 2019. All of its about 900 congregation members have had no choice but to disperse into small groups and worship in secret at odd places and odd times, leading to the closure. The country's government, along with the Religious Affairs Bureau, summoned the church leaders to pressure them into joining the Three Self Patriot movement. When he refused, the authorities ordered the congregation to stop all gatherings, threatened to impose fines if they did not. Back here in the States, from CNSNews.com, legislation to decriminalize polygamy in Utah has moved closer to becoming law. A Senate committee voted unanimously and sent it along to the full Senate, and now the full Senate has passed this unanimously as well. Chief Justice Roberts had warned this would lead toward the issues here, warned of polygamy that would be coming to the nation. Here is also from Christian News. .net, Home and Garden Television, HGTV, their popular show House Hunters that documents couples' adventures in buying a home. They featured a polyamorous throuple for the first time on Wednesday. What is a throuple? Well, this was a husband and wife who've decided to bring another woman into their relationship. These are romantic relationships. The episode is titled Three's Not a Crowd in Colorado Springs. Featured Brian and Lori, along with a woman named Angelica, who lives with the couple as a threesome. Brian also disclosed that the three recently traveled to Aruba, where they held a ceremony to commit themselves to each other. Ryan Putman, Associate Professor of Theology and Culture at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, said the celebration of polyamorous relationships was inevitable once marriage was redefined. Okay, let's go to the Daily Caller. Iowa lawmakers have introduced in the Republican-sponsored House File 2201 in January, a bill that would require schools to annually notify parents about any kind of material that discusses gender or sexual orientation that would give parents the opportunity to inspect material before their children get it in their classes. The bill is one of 13 pieces of legislation that's been introduced. Opponents are calling it anti-LGBT. Iowa Pastor Brad Cranston said parents have a right to know when it comes to controversial issues what their children are being taught in schools that they are paying for. Well, though unborn babies don't have rights, environmentalists are insisting that a river has rights and can sue. Activists with the nonprofit group, this is from WND.com, the nonprofit group Our Santa Fe River are seeking to establish an amendment to their county's charter to provide rights to the river to protect it from harm. They claim it's the new concept catching on in the U.S. as well as abroad. One advocate explained giving the Santa Fe its own rights could provide a legal basis for the residents to prevent destructive actions such as harmful development that could be proposed in the county. Mark Miller, a senior attorney with Pacific Legal Foundation, warned that if activists succeed, it will erode the only rights they should recognize, that is the rights of individuals. How could the activists ever know what the river wants? They can't, of course. It's an inanimate object, he stated. From APnews.com, the Boy Scouts of America urged victims to come forward Tuesday as a historic 110-year-old organization filed for bankruptcy protection in the first step toward creating a huge compensation fund for potentially thousands of men who were molested as youngsters decades ago by scoutmasters or other leaders. The scouts resorted to Chapter 11 in hopes of surviving a barrage of lawsuits. Bankruptcy will enable the organization to put those cases on hold, but ultimately the Boy Scouts could be forced to sell some of their vast property, raising money for a victims fund that could top $1 billion. The Boy Scouts estimate 1,000 to 5,000 victims will seek compensation. Also from CBN, they say that BSA, Boy Scouts of America, opened the door for the controversy when they announced that girls would be allowed to join the group. The following year, the group changed their name to Scouts BSA to reflect the inclusion of girls. The organization officially rolled out the changeover February 1st of 2019. They say also that the real deal breaker came years later when Boy Scouts became aligned with the LGBT movement. 2015, the group lifted a ban on gay adults as Scout leaders, also allowing openly gay youths to join Scouting. In 2017, they announced they would be also including transgender children. Let's go to the state of Virginia. Free Beacon is reporting that the Virginia proposal to ban assault weapons and confiscate ammunition magazines holding more than 12 rounds defeated in a bipartisan vote on Monday morning. In a 10-5 vote, the state Senate Judiciary Committee referred the bill back to a crime commission for further study, meaning that it will not go on for a final vote this legislative session. Quickly to Mississippi, a Democrat in the Mississippi House of Representatives, John Hines, sponsoring a bill that would force high schoolers who are homeschooled to take the same Mississippi history and U.S. government courses that public schools must teach. Comprehensive courses in Mississippi history and U.S. government required for all students grades 9 through 12. All private parochial and homeschool-based programs shall provide the same curriculum to the students enrolled. That would give the state authority to dictate what parents teach their children and how they teach it. Homeschool Legal Defense Association taking opposition to HB 188. We'll have some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
We live in a depraved world with sin and corruption all around us. There are many temptations to lure us away from our walk with the Lord. How do we stay clean, pure, and righteous in such a time? In Psalm 119, we are reminded of the importance of hiding God's Word in our heart to protect us from succumbing to sin. But memorization is difficult for many. This is why Thomas Meyer, known as the Bible Memory Man, has not only devoted many books of the Bible to memory, But he has also put together the King James Memorization Study Bible, where he breaks up every verse in the New Testament by phrases to assist in the scripture memory process. A helpful appendix also provides a list of important scriptures to memorize, from sin to salvation, in 10 verses. The Memory Study Bible New Testament is available for a donation of $20 or more by calling VCY, 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and want to share just a few more items with you. There is much going on again this week. This is from U.S. News and World Report. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin Assembly approved a resolution Tuesday to call for a CONCON, a convention of the states, to consider making changes to the U.S. Constitution, despite arguments against from Democrats who called such a move dangerous. Wisconsin would become the 16th state to pass such a resolution should the state Senate also pass it. Because it is a resolution and not a state law, it does not require the signature of the governor. Not clear whether or not the Senate will vote on this measure. Many have blown the whistle on this, warning of what a constitutional convention would do as multiple issues. As Bill Federer was on this program, he said, somebody guarantee to me that George Soros's money will not be involved in any of this. Well, those of you in Wisconsin can contact your senators through the legislative hotline at 800-362-9472. That's 800-362-9472. Two Republicans, Amy Lauterbach and David Murphy, joined with the Democrats voting against this constitutional convention. From LifeSiteNews.com. Let's see. The parents are suing the Madison Metropolitan School District in Wisconsin for enabling children to socially transition to a member of the opposite sex at school without parental knowledge or consent. Teachers are directed to deceive parents by using the child's birth name and biological sex whenever parents are involved. Well, the lawsuit claims that the school district is violating parental rights by adopting a policy that's designed to circumvent parental involvement in pivotal decision affecting their children's health and future. Folks, this is amazing. Children, come to the classroom. You can transition here. We will not tell your parents. When we talk to your parents, we'll refer to you by your real name, your birth name, but we'll use this other private name, you know, here in the school, your gender preferred name. Rick Essenberg, President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, said Madison schools have adopted policies that violate constitutionally recognized parental rights. A public school district should not and cannot make decisions reserved for parents. The school district in the state's capital had adopted its guidance and policies to support transgender, non-binary, and gender-expansive students in April 2018. According to the document, all staff will refer to students by their affirmed names and pronouns. The lawsuit illustrates the school district's policy regarding transgender students by pointing to training materials for teachers and resources for students used in the Madison Public Schools. One training program for all staff members took place between August and November at almost all schools of the district, including mostly elementary schools. Got to reach them when they're young. Madison Metropolitan School District dedicates an official website to its welcoming schools approach that claims to support the academic and social-emotional growth of our students, saying we are committed to creating an anti-racist, non-discriminatory environment where all identities are seen, valued, and respected. Many resources push the homosexual and transgender agenda. Among other things, the school district links to new LGBTQ inclusive books for the very youngest children and 18 multicultural children's books featuring LGBTQIA characters. Let's quickly go to Oklahoma City. A senator in Oklahoma has again introduced a bill that would completely outlaw abortion in the state, reports ChristianNews.net. Senator Joseph Silk introduced SB 13, known as the Abolition of Abortion in Oklahoma Act, February 4th. It's the intent of the legislation to provide to unborn children the equal protection of the laws of the state to establish that a living human child from the moment of fertilization is entitled to the same rights, powers, privileges, justice, and protections as our secured or granted by the laws of the state to any other human person, the bill reads in part. Also removes an exception from current Oklahoma homicide law. Homicide shall include, but not limited to, acts which cause the death of an unborn child committed during an abortion, the new law read if passed. You can find out more at christiannews.net. One other story. By the way, if you'd like to get on board here today with your comments on current event issues, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. From LifeSiteNews.com, a jury yesterday cleared four Boston Children's Hospital doctors of medical malpractice and negligence for their role in seizing a Connecticut teenager after her parents disagreed with them about her course of care. The state of Massachusetts took custody of then 15-year-old Justina Pelletier in 2013 after Boston Children's Hospital claimed the symptoms of her rare disease, which doctors at Tufts University had been treating, were largely psychosomatic and an induced psychological disorder caused by the parents. Well, Justina was ultimately released back to her parents after nearly 16 months of being locked in a psychiatric ward. Her health significantly deteriorated while she was in state custody, and her contact with her parents was limited. We're very disappointed with the jury's decision today, the family said. The Boston Globe reports that it took the jury under 6 hours to clear the hospital. And one other story here. This is troubling indeed. BreakingIsraelNews.com. A group of self-professed Christian witches, and I put that in quotes, and so does the article, Christian witches announced that they will be holding their annual convention on Easter in Salem, Massachusetts. The gathering of witches, sorcerers, sorceresses, wizards, warlocks, necromancers, readers, and like-minded magical beings are being organized by the Reverend Valerie Love, scheduled for April 10th through 12th, coinciding with the Christian holiday of Easter and featuring elements of witchcraft as well as Christian prayers. She claims to be a practicing Christian witch, founded the Covenant of Christian Witches Mystery School, where she claims in the Solomonic tradition. In an Instagram post, Love stated that the Book of Psalms is really a book of spells. The convention will include lectures on magical practice in the Christian witchcraft tradition, a cemetery walk, tarot, palmistry, and angel readings. There's going to be a Harry Potter-themed costume party. The Witches Convention will culminate with a church service on Sunday. There will now be more Americans who identify as practicing witches. They report 1.5 million than there are members of the mainline Presbyterian PC USA, 1.4 million, the article wrote. Christian witches? Wow. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Folks, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. There is much false teaching in this world, as we were warned earlier this week on Crosstalk. Let's go to the phone lines today. Our number, 800-733-9829. We've got Mark in Monroe. You're on the air.
Yes, my comment is this. I think because the Democratic presidential candidates are so inept. The DNC is all but forced to continue their malicious assault and defaming Trump so that they can hopefully actually win by default instead of winning by merit. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Doug is calling from Ringgold, Georgia. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just more power to that Oklahoma senator, and I've just got through listening to the president on the March for Life. And brother, I thought he was an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, taking up for the right to life.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate your comments. Seth in Lublin, you're on the air.
We need to return back to the Ten Commandments. We need to restore the sword of Yahweh and Yahshua.
Thank you, Seth. Let's go to Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, got two things. One is a story for you and a comment on one of the stories you just brought up. So the story you just brought up about the parents being able to review the material.
That's pending in Iowa right now, yes.
Yeah. Are they going to include the part where parents can change the material when they don't want that?
The option they would have then would be for opting their children out of the material if they object to it.
Okay, and here's the new story. There's a movie coming out. This is a warning for the parents out there. It's called The Eternals. And in The Eternals, they're going to have a gay superhero male couple who's going to raise a child and share a passionate kiss. Hmm. So be sure not to go.
Thank you, Leroy. Let's go to Steve in Salina, Kansas. You're on the air.
Jim, did you make mention about a con going on or something about that? I was at work and couldn't hear it, really.
Yes. Well, what we reported is that one of the chambers of the Wisconsin legislature just passed it. Wisconsin State Assembly passed it. It has to go to the Wisconsin Senate to be the next state to approve a constitutional convention.
Well, as much as I hate to say it, I'd rather have the witches write the con instead of, we know what they are, but the politicians got to hold this thing. It would probably be worse if they wrote it, because we don't have the same ilk of men and the ethics and morals that the founders had. If these politicians got a hold of it now, it would be an utter mess. I know Mark Levin is a big proponent of this. He used to be, but Phyllis Schlafly warned against this thing, and I would think it would be an utter disaster if anyone got a hold of that Constitution.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Steve.
Sure.
Celeste in Alabama, you're on the air.
The Bible says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, and putting that name, there's no such thing as a Christian witch. There's no such thing, because it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And you got Galatians 5:3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, which is separate from the world, and you serve Jesus Christ. You're in the world, but not of the world. That he is a debtor to the whole law. And that means you, because the Old Testament don't break the New Testament. And that's what that is.
Okay, thank you for your comments here today. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown, Kentucky. You're on the air.
There is no such thing as Christian witches.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that would be like me starting a group of, okay, we're going to be Satanistic Christians here, okay? The problem is we got all these groups now that want to try to incorporate Christianity into theirs, which then draws Christians away from Christianity. And what a lot of people don't realize is it doesn't take much to do that. You know, you pull them a little bit in the wrong direction, and they're going away from, you know, the whole biblical concept, whether they think they are or not. Oh, look, but they're still believing in the Bible, so it's okay. No, it's not.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and, you know, I think of Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh or raiseth his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination or an observer of times, an enchanter or a witch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the facts are, it's easy for any of these groups. You know, I could start my own little thing and look through the Bible and sort and pick and say, well, look, this kind of backs up what I say. Look, this could be this here. Oh, look, there were witches back then, but there's good witches, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not what it tells you in the Bible. There's no good or bad witches. It's all bad stuff. You're supposed to stay away from
it. It's evil. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it. Even Satan himself transformed as an angel of light. Ellie is calling from North Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And I'm wondering if you or any of your listeners are aware of this Marianne2020.com. Our government is creating a U.S. Department of Peace.
Well, there have been proposals that have been coming out to every congressional session for that. That has not passed through the Congress as of this point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call here today. We've got to, the clock says we've got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. It's a news roundup day today. Taking your calls here, if you'd like to comment on some of the current news event issues that are going on, our number here, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We continue our series now on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist. As we've been saying, there's nothing wrong with having a debate, but when you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs and find common ground. You can't do that. And when you do that, involved in discourse or dialogue with them, you fall into trap and danger number 8 in our list. You have allowed your cultural Marxist enemy to define the language. You're giving validity to their language, like woke, white privilege, social justice. You're allowing them to control the narrative. You're setting up the conflict. You're walking into a trap, and you're setting yourself up to be marginalized and your values marginalized. And ultimately, what you're doing is you're giving legitimacy to their values. You're saying, I'll talk with you and try to find common ground because there is some value to what you believe. And guess what? You have surrendered to the psychological process and submitted yourself to all eight dangers. For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and I would like to also mention Liberty Counsel. We received note that Sandra Merritt in San Francisco Superior Court today for an arraignment facing 10 felony charges brought against her by California Attorney General Becerra for her undercover journalism work, which exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking and baby body parts. Merritt, of course, is pleading not guilty to all charges. Represented by Liberty Counsel, will be praying for Sandra Merritt as that issue continues in the courts. We're going to Port Wing, Wisconsin. Tom, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to comment about this issue of polygamy. This country defeated polygamy in the 1860s along with slavery. In light of the Me Too movement, where are they? And I read the Bible, and Jesus said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not his wives.
And to finish that verse, and they too shall be one flesh.
Yes. So, but where is the Me Too movement, Jim, also in this issue? This is a women's rights issue because we know how horrible the situation of polygamy really is.
Thank you, Tom, for your call. We're going to another caller from Wisconsin. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi there. Someone in our family has someone that they're quite involved in that is call themselves an angel intuitive and counsels people to communicate with ones that have passed away. Suppose this person is internationally recognized and also has like a set of cards that you pick. It's probably a form of tarot cards reading. And
yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, the Bible talks about divination.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though because I've gotten to know this person, and this person is probably one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in
Absolutely.
Your life, honestly.
Yep.
Really, the most sincerest person. And I'm trying to get a clarity on how, you know, if this person's a white witch or, you know, like they would never label themselves as that, but I just, what would you say? I'm curious.
Yeah, and we've did a program, I believe it was in October, on this whole aspect of witchcraft. And as we spoke with Pastor David Brown on this very issue, there is no white witch, black witch. It is all witchcraft. And that which is witchcraft is indeed divination. The Bible does clearly speak against it. If you go to crosstalkamerica.com, just do October 30th. Evidently, we did the program, and you can find the program there. And we spent the full hour on that issue.
Mm-hmm. So you would definitely consider somebody that communicates with the dead witchcraft, correct?
Oh, witchcraft, sorcery, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Crestview, Florida. And Gina, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. I wanted to comment about, I forget what state it was that is passing or trying to pass some laws regarding homeschoolers and private school
Mississippi.
Students having to follow public school Mississippi. Same thing's happening here in Florida. They're proposing that not only do you have to follow their curriculum, I'm homeschooling myself, but you also have to have a bachelor's degree. I'm fortunate enough to have not only a bachelor's but a master's in education, but that's not the case for most people. So it's a roundabout way of trying to just do away with homeschoolers, do away with public school. Private school. Sorry.
Thank you, Gina. Yep. And I appreciate groups like Homeschool Legal Defense Association taking a stand and fighting for the rights of homeschool families. Charles Nakusa, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I keep hearing about protecting the right of the woman to have control over her own body. Well, we should all have that control at all times, but not after you produced a murder victim, you know, on abortion. You should have control before that you don't produce an abortion victim. Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles, for your call here today. A lot of conversation on so many issues here, friends, and we certainly want you to be understanding of the times, but be of good cheer. God's in control, folks. His plan will not be thwarted. And I just wanted to close with a story that I came across here just a short time before the program. And it's from ChristianNews.net, and it deals with the coronavirus, but to show you that God is still in the life-changing business, and the saving business. A pastor said at a recent memorial service for the first victim of the coronavirus in China's Sichuan province that he was able to share the gospel with a woman before she died. A translation of the message from Peng Qing, pastor of Chengdu's Enfu Reformed Gospel Church, was posted on their website. He presented the service via a teleconferencing call, as most were confined to their homes, and as such, they could not get out for this. Zhang Ruzan was known as Mama Su to her friends and family, and her son Su Xuming attends the church. In January, the Ruzan traveled to Chengdu to be with her son for the Chinese New Year, but during that time she fell ill and had to be hospitalized. It was confirmed she had the coronavirus. At times, she was unconscious. Quang told Xuming that he wanted to share the gospel with his mother and asked if she might be willing to speak with him. The next day, Ruzan was awake, so her son contacted the pastor to advise that he could speak to her then, but that he didn't know how long she would be responsive. Xuming says that he asked her if she would be willing to talk to the minister. Her gentle reply was, "I am willing." Quickly picked up the phone after telling the woman that his church was praying for her. He cut to the chase and outlined the message as succinctly as he could, not knowing how much time he was going to have, saying, "We were created by God, but we didn't trust and obey God, and we rejected him." He said, despite that, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, that so that we might live. Jesus died, but he rose again. We only need to believe in Jesus. Our sins will be forgiven, and we need no longer be separated from God, but enjoy eternal life. In him, there is no fear of death. After I shared this with her, I asked if she wanted to believe and receive Christ. She said, yes. By God's grace, he prepared this window of consciousness in her coma for her to hear the gospel message and come to know him. A few days later, a woman from the church brought an audio Bible to play in her hospital room and wrote scriptures on cards asking the hospital staff to share them. She succumbed to the coronavirus the following day. Sister Zhang Jin, Mama Su's daughter-in-law, said that Mama Su was in the presence of worship songs and the audible Word of God until her last breath. And Mama Su was with God in her last moments, but we believe in a God who is faithful. Even if your faith is like the grain of mustard seed, God knows and he remembers. The pastor went on to tell the people in his memorial service that we need to turn back to God. We, as his people, we need to repent. God is in the saving business. Be praying for those that are impacted in such a negative way by the coronavirus. Pray that people will be drawn to the Savior. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.